It's a pleasure to be able to once again share with you God's Word. Pastor John is in Nepal today. He's on his way to Nepal. Hopefully he's in Nepal by now. I think last that we heard from him, he's stuck in Qatar, fogged in. So I'm not sure what the itinerary is going to be, but we need to pray for him today. And about a month ago, Pastor John and I were having a cup of coffee one day, and he said, "Listen, I'd like for you to come and share what God's doing in your life." And it's been 2 years. Man, time goes so fast. But I remember 2 years ago, almost to the day, Pastor John had me share. And so it's a privilege, again, to stand in the pulpit, and I'm humbled by that. And there's a lot of things that have been going on in our lives here at the church, in our mission. We've had some major transformations in the last 7 months of our work as missionaries. And I'm not going to speak on that so much this morning, but I do want to bring the Word of God to you and sort of tie it in with some of the things that I think for you guys in the new year. Have you already broken your New Year's resolution this week? If you've eaten too much, you have, right? Well, I did. I had the privilege of being out in California for the Calvary Chapel Missions Conference once again. It's been like 5 years since I was out there, and it brought back a lot of memories because we used to live right by the Calvary Chapel Bible College in Murrieta, California. And Calvary Chapel Murrieta is our old home church before we moved to the East Coast 8 years ago. And I had people coming up to me that I haven't seen in 10 years, and they were going, "Man, we remember when you came to our church and shared," and all these different things were going on. But it was an awesome time this week. Do you guys remember Heather Mercer? Does that ring a bell with any of you guys? Remember the two girls that were in captivity with the Taliban in Afghanistan? She was one of the speakers at the conference. And for Calvary Chapel, that is huge. We had a woman speaker. Mark that off the tape. I won't ever get invited back. No, Heather was amazing, talking about her experience of that whole captivity in Afghanistan and how God delivered them. But what's even more amazing of what she was talking about, what's going on in the Middle East. In fact, almost the whole conference was focused on the Middle East, which is joy to my heart because of some of the new doors that are opening for us in the West Bank and Israel and Iraq. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that, but I better start or I'll never get finished here. Let's pray. Father, Lord, you know, God, that your word is high above everything. And Lord, I just want to ask you, Lord, as we break open your word a little bit this morning, Father, that you would help me, Lord, just to share from my heart, that I would be an encouragement not only to those that are here, Lord, but that as we, as brothers and sisters, in this thing we call Christianity, this thing we call following you, that we could glean from your word this morning, Lord, and from our own experiences, God, that you would help us. And I pray for those that are here this morning, Lord, that need to be encouraged. Lord, I pray that you would encourage them. I pray for those that need to be comforted, that you would comfort them. And Lord, those that need provoked, may you provoke us to this morning, Lord, to continue on and to look to you, God, for what you're doing. And pray for John and Steve and those in Nepal this morning, Lord. I pray for our brothers and sisters in Iraq this morning, Lord. I pray for our brothers and sisters in Sudan and in the West Bank, the Palestinian brothers and sisters, and our brothers and sisters in Israel, Lord. And Lord, I pray for our brothers and sisters, Lord, around the world that are meeting in China and places like that, Lord, where, Father, they are under great persecution, and yet your spirit, Lord, is building your church around this world. I just want to thank you for that. Lord, I pray as we look in your word that we can take encouragement from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I would like to share just a little bit this morning from, I know it's the new year, and a lot of people talk about New Year's resolutions, and we talk about doing things differently than we have in the past, and I just want to share a little bit from Hebrews chapter 12 about this thing called the race, the course that we're on. And as we turn there this morning, I hope that you will be encouraged as I share a little bit just from how these things have personally affected me in the last year and a half, 2 years, as the Lord has really taken my family and I and our whole work through some pretty radical changes. But the tendency is when we're going through some of these things that we tend to maybe sometimes get discouraged or get knocked off track. And sometimes it's hard to keep our focus. And I think as we start off in the new year, it would really do us well to look into what God's Word says about staying on course. So in Hebrews chapter 12, and 2 years ago I didn't have to do this, but I have to now. You know, it frightened me. It really scared me about a year ago when I was sharing like a Bible study one night. I took my Bible out and I opened it and I couldn't read it anymore. And I was going, oh, Lord, help me to remember this scripture by heart or I'm going to really look bad right now. So I had to go to Walgreens and do the $4 reading glasses. And my kids, they went, Dad, you look really weird with those on. I said, stop it. It's part of midlife, so get over it. So Paul says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, you guys don't look so sanctimonious. You guys was still good eyesight. Appreciate it, because when you hit this, it does something to your pride. And all you men and women that have had that happen, you know what I'm talking about. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. New Year's resolution. All you weight people that are looking to lay aside the weight. That's not what he's talking about here. Sorry. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Guys, we are in a race. You can call it a race, you can call it a course, you can call it a war. But we are definitely in a race towards something. And each one of us is on a course this morning. If you are a believer in Christ, you are on the course that God has chosen to put you on. And it's an awesome thing when you come to Christ and you receive him into your heart and salvation comes to you. But I'm afraid many of us, we feel like that is the end of it. And we just sort of settle for, okay, now that I'm saved, I've got my insurance, and, you know, when Jesus comes or I die, and I'm going to go to heaven. And you know what? Thank God for that. But he has chosen us and set us on a course and set us on a race for a purpose. And many times we get off course. And it's because of a few things that I would just like to point out this morning that I feel like we have to be careful for in order to stay on course. Now, this is the main text here that I wanted to share with you. But let's turn over to Philippians chapter 3. I'd like to look at the life of Apostle Paul. Because Paul talks about this course and this race. And there are a few things that Apostle Paul talks about that I think are critical and necessary for us to stay on this course. You know, it says, as we just read, that Jesus is the author, he's the beginner, and he's the finisher of our faith. But Paul talks about this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained. Paul said, I have not attained, or I'm already perfected. Paul's saying we're all still under construction. We're still all in process. Lord knows we're not there yet, are we? I'm not. We haven't attained, and we're not perfected, but we press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. You know, I hear people say, well, I found the Lord, or I got religion, or I found Jesus. Well, you know, really, you didn't find him. He found you. You didn't choose him. He's already chosen you before the foundation of the world. And I didn't choose him. I finally wised up to where I realized that, you know what, God is looking for me. And I would be wise enough to stop being a stupid and accept him and accept the goodness that he's planned for me before the foundation of the world. So if you're a believer here today, you know what? He's the one that came looking for you. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden? Who came looking for them? They didn't go looking for God, did they? They were ashamed because of their sin. But God came looking for them. I'm thankful that God came looking for me, because I sure wasn't looking for him. There is none that looks and seeks after God, Isaiah says. But Paul says that I haven't attained, I'm not perfected, but I'm pressing on that I may lay hold, that I may grab, that I may find that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. In other words, Paul said, I've been arrested by Christ. I want to press on to find that. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying something here that is really important, I think, for us to consider this morning. How many of you would like to forget some things of last year? I would love to turn back the hands of time a year. Would you? Some decisions you made, some judgments you made. Boy, could we ever, you know what? This is the new year. I heard the other day that the Italians have a very expensive way of forgetting the last year. They throw something out the window that they didn't like the year before. Is that right? You Italian people, is that a tradition? I heard that on the radio. Is that correct?
Yes, that's really.
Well, I was going I wasn't going to touch that, but you did it. No, I heard that they open the window on New Year's Eve, and at the stroke of midnight, they throw something out that they don't want to carry into the new year that reminds them of something bad that happened. And I was thinking, that's an expensive thing, because you know what? The wife, the husband, well, some of them want to throw their husbands out the window, I'm sure. But how hard is it for us to forget the bad things that happen in our life? Can you remember the good things? It's hard to remember the good things, isn't it? But it's always easier when you think of those things that caused you pain or caused you grief or caused you to stumble. But Paul said, I want to forget those things that are behind. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, the Apostle Paul had some he had a colorful past. Let's put it that way. And you know, if you read the first 11 verses of Philippians 13, Paul talks about his heritage, about persecuting the church, about his self-righteousness. But can you imagine what Paul had to do with the death of Stephen? Paul had blood on his hands, maybe more than Stephen. Paul was persecuting the church. Paul had people put to death. Now, I don't know if any of you this past year have committed physical murder, but I guarantee you some of you have committed murder in your heart. Hello? Jesus said if you've even hated your brother, wouldn't we like to forget that? It's a stumbling block, isn't it? Every time that you want to rise up and move on in Christ, that anger toward your spouse or a brother or sister in Christ comes up and you go, God, I can't get over this. I can't move on. I can't forget that. Maybe it's something as simple as you can't forget where you are or where you've come from. I like the story of Abraham. Any of you read about Abraham? Is he an encouragement to you? I don't want you to turn there, but if you're taking notes, I want to look at Abraham just for a second. Abraham, God called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And God called Abraham to forget something. What did he call him to forget? So that he could move on into the course that God had laid for him? God said to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to leave your country and your family to a land that I will show you. Well, you know, in this course that we're running, sometimes it's difficult for us to leave our family and our country behind because that's where our security lies. But if we're going to continue in this race, just like Abraham, we're going to have to forget those things maybe in the past of our own security. Any of you have difficulty doing that? You have family members that you would like to move on and you'd like to progress on in Christ, but sometime you're having trouble leaving that behind. Abraham had to leave that behind. There's another instance that God moved into Abraham's life. And this is where I fall so short, and I think many of us struggle with this too. In Genesis chapter 17, we know the story, how God had called Abraham out. He had went out, but he didn't have an heir for the inheritance of his family. And Abraham, he knew that God had promised him a son, but we know the story of how Abraham wanted to help God out, and through that, and the relationship with his concubine Hagar, Ishmael had been born, and Abraham thought that that was going to be what God wanted to fulfill the plan. But all of a sudden, God is saying, you know what, Abraham, Ishmael is not going to be the heir to your family, and you've got to leave that behind and move on past that. You see that in Genesis chapter 17, verses 18 and 19. How many of you struggle with your own flesh, with your own desires, with your own plans, and it's hard to leave and forget those mistakes of your own flesh because you say, God, I want to do it my way. Anybody struggle with that? Hard to move past that? Hard to forget that? Well, Abraham had that same struggle. He struggled with that because in that chapter, Abraham is crying out to God, oh, that Ishmael could live before you, Lord. He loved him. He loved his flesh. He loved what he had done. Don't we do that? Don't we do that, Lord? I want to do it my way. I don't want to do it your way, Lord. This is what I'm comfortable with. This is the work of my hands, Lord. I did this. Oh, but the Lord is saying, you know what? You need to forget that. And you need to look to me, because if you want to stay and dwell there, it's not going to be productive because it's going to be the fruit of your flesh. I know there's been some things in my life that I've done and I would love to forget them. They're the work of my own hands. They're the work of my own heart. And God in his mercy comes along and said, look, that's not my plan for you. I want you to go this way. And I say, but oh, Lord, let's go this way. I know this way, Lord. I'm comfortable with this way because I can touch it. I can feel it. I can see it. It's here before me. But the Lord says, no, you need to forget that and move on. There's one more place that after this whole scenario, we know that 13 years after that point, God did bring to pass his promise. And Isaac was born to Sarah and Abraham. And then there comes a time that even after that promise is given, God calls on Abraham one more time to forget something. And what was it? God said, I want you to take Isaac, the one that I've given you now, the one that I've blessed you with, and I want you to take him to Mount Moriah, and I want you to give him back to me. That had to be an incredible test, but Abraham had to forget. And he took Isaac up to the mountain, but we know the story how God provided for Abraham. And he tested Abraham. But those are some things that Abraham had to forget. He had to give back to God some of the things that were most precious to him. Have you had that happen this past year? God has blessed you God has moved you into a blessing to where you are in His will. Are you willing to give those back to Him if He asked you to in this new year coming? To stay on course, to stay on following Him, are you willing to give back to God? And I'm not just talking about materialism or material blessings. What about your time? What about volunteering? What about sharing the gospel? What about those things that God will ask you, okay, forget about those and move on. As we start off the new year, I pray the Lord will challenge you, just like He challenged Abraham. You know what? It's like Paul said, I haven't attained yet. I haven't grabbed hold of everything God wants me to do. You know what? We tend to receive and then we just sort of settle. But God wants us to progress. He wants us to continue on. So in this new year that we're embarking on today, forget the things of last year, because you know what? God wants to do something fresh and new every day in your life. But we have to forget the things in the past. Then Paul says, Philippians 3, not only do I forget things which are in the past and I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press forward. You know, it's easy to coast. It's easy to get comfortable. It's easy to live this Christian life and just sort of settle. But you know what Paul's saying? We're in a race. And we have to lay aside those weights. We have to forget some of those things in the past. And we need to press forward. What are we supposed to press forward to? Paul says, I am pressing forward for the high calling of Jesus Christ. What is the high calling that He has called you to? What is the high calling? To be shaped into the image of Christ. Well, sometimes in this race, in this course that we're on, as we press forward, the word press indicates that there is opposition to you pressing forward. If you're not coming up against something, good chances are you're going in the same direction of something else. Do you have tribulation in your life? Anybody have trials? Well, those trials are a true indication that you may be going in the right direction. Who came up with the theology that when you come to Christ and when you embark on this thing called the Christian race, that everything was going to be good? That's not true biblical theology. If that was the case, people say, well, when you're in the middle of God's will, everything should be peaceful, everything should be smooth, and everything should be going your way. The Apostle Paul never had it easy. Was he in the middle of God's will when he was shipwrecked? Was he in God's will? When he was in prison, was he in God's will? When he faced opposition, was he in God's will? When he was being stoned, was he in God's will? You see, a lot of times we think, man, I want to come to Christ because I want my life to be better. Jesus did not come to make our lives better. He came to give us eternal life and life more abundantly. And then He said, in the world, you will have tribulation, but don't be discouraged. I have overcome the world. Because, see, this is not really our home. Are you preparing for eternity in heaven? Or are you preparing for eternity here? I want to prepare for eternity and run the race to make it. Not just to heaven, but to make it living my life daily and having that abundant life every day. So I'm pressing. And many times the circumstances that you're pressing up against are not going to be favorable. Joshua chapter 3 talks about the children of Israel. When they were delivered out of Egypt, everybody, you know, looks at the deliverance out of Egypt as an analogy of us becoming delivered from our sins and brought into relationship with Christ. That's our deliverance. But guess what happened when they were delivered out of the land of Egypt? The first thing they encountered was an army of Pharaoh coming after them and a sea before them. And we know the story. God opened the Red Sea. They all walked across. But that was not the end of their struggle. That was not the end of their battle. In fact, it was just the beginning. So, we know the story, how they wandered in the desert for 40 years until all the old generation died off because of their unbelief. And then we have another story of Joshua. Joshua 3 talks about when they came to the Jordan, Moses had died. They came to the Jordan, and God tells Joshua, Joshua, now you're going to lead these people into the promised land. But by the way, the Jordan River is in between you and Jericho. Anybody ever read that story about how Joshua went through all the camp? And because of all of the men fighters that had come out of the land of Egypt, the children had not been circumcised in the desert. Now, guys, I don't know if I'd like to have been in Joshua's army that day. All you men start squirming a little bit because what a very pleasant situation, you know. God said, look, Joshua, before you go in to conquer this land, you have to set aside and circumcise all the men. And these guys were 40-year-old guys. They'd never been circumcised. Now, I don't want to get gross on you here, but it talks about they circumcised every man in the camp, and then they sat in their tents till they were healed. Very painful. These men had to go through something. But after they were healed, the Lord said, now it's time for you to break camp and cross the Jordan. Well, Lord, there is a problem. The Jordan, if you've been to Israel, the Jordan's a little bitty, muddy creek, basically, like Neshaminy Creek, about that size. But when it is in its flood stage, it spreads out, and it's wide, and it's torrent. I mean, it's a very dangerous little body of water. Well, it was flood time exactly when God said, it's time for you to cross over and conquer the land. Does God ever make your test easy? Doesn't it seem that when God asks you to do something, to step out in faith, things are almost the worst? There's the biggest challenge. And here's even the more radical thing. You know, the Lord, when he spoke to Joshua and told him to cross that river, you know, it had been okay if the Lord said, okay, I want you to cross this river, but I'm going to go ahead and roll back the waters, and then you can cross over on dry ground. You ever had the Lord say, okay, I want you to do something, and then you argue with him? Lord, fix this for me first, and then I'll go forward. Or, Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do that. I am learning God doesn't bargain. He cares for us, and he cares for me, and he wants me to continue on this course, but you know what? He wants me to believe him regardless of what I see, what I feel, or what the circumstances around me may say. And things may look the darkest when God asks you to do something so crazy as like what he did with the children of Israel. Joshua was commanded by the Lord to say to the priests, the leaders, that when you take up the ark, go before the people, and when your feet touch the water, then I will roll the waters back. Now, think about this. Come on, all of us self-righteous people. We're carrying the ark. Wouldn't you have hated to have been the first guy in line? No, you go. No, you go. All right, who's on duty today to take the front end of the ark? The priests got their robes on. They're walking toward this water. And, you know, Lord, are you sure about this? We're going to all drown. The Lord said, keep walking. But it wasn't until they got their feet wet. It wasn't until they got their feet wet. It says in Joshua 3, 14 through 17, when the soles of the priest's feet touched the water and the water came up around their ankles. Now, can you imagine? You're wading in this water. Okay, Lord, nothing's happening yet. I can't swim. I'm going to get my robes dirty. All of a sudden, when the priest entered the water, when the priest's feet entered the waters began to roll back. And you know the grace and the mercy of what God does for us? If you'll read that when you go home today, it said, I want the priest to go about 1,500 feet. I think it was 1,500 cubits in front of the people first. He said, put a large area of space between you so you can see the ark before you. Because if the ark and the people had been so close together, nobody would have been able to see the ark. And it would have been mass confusion. And I usually end up there most of the time. I get too close. I get too close to the ark sometimes and I can't see clearly. And it's because of me not listening to the Lord and following the instructions. But the priest went way ahead and the people could see the waters rolling back. So the grace and the mercy of the Lord was he wanted the leadership. He wanted those who had the high calling of God in front of them. And that may be you today. The Lord may be really challenging you to step into the water because people behind you are following and they want to see what God is doing. And he's challenging you to get your feet wet. Is there something that God is challenging you with? Is he challenging you to step into the water no matter how murky and how fast it's running and how scared you are? Do you think those priests had it all together? They didn't. They had been appointed by the Lord to be the carriers of the ark. But you know what? I guarantee you their knees were knocking. Lord, this water's fast. If you've ever been in a river walking on slippery rocks, anybody ever done that? You know how it feels. Your legs get a little bit shaky and you go, boy, if I go down, I'm gone. I remember when I was growing up in Alabama, we used to have some really crazy rivers that we used to skinny dip in. I can't believe I just said that. We did. We were a bunch of young boys, farm boys, and hey, a rope swinging out over the river and everything. But I can remember catfish. I guarantee the Jordan had some fish too. Can you imagine when those priests, woo, fish going up his robe or something, you know, and he getting really excited, having a Pentecostal shout or something like that. But as soon as their feet hit the water, the Jordan started rolling back. And God worked another miracle to prove his power. Not the feast, the priest's feet weren't special. They were just being obedient. It was God that rolled back the waters for them. It was God proving his faithfulness to them. And the people watched, and the people rejoiced, and they went over. And they went on to conquer. They went on to fight. They went on to do what God had called them. They were pressing on. They had to forget the desert. Oh, how I want to forget the desert and how I want to put my feet in the water, but sometimes it's so scary. And yet God will do what he said he would do if we'll just take the challenge. Press on. And then there's one more thing. Many times, and you may be here this morning, you've forgotten the past and you're pressing on and you're believing God. But in this race, we also get weary. And there's another thing that I think Paul challenges on and Jesus challenges on, is that is enduring. Endurance. Any of you track and field people? Are any of you marathon runners? Marathon runners in here? You know when you're running that there is a wall that you hit when you're running. When your body starts to shut down and your mind starts to shut down and your strength starts to fade and you say, you know what, I just don't think I can make it. I've never been a marathon runner. But they say that there is a point where you have to get past that one point to where your mind goes beyond what your body can do. Did any of you see this father that just ran the triathlon and he pushed his son? His son is a quadriplegic, if I'm correct on this. A couple of weeks ago out in Colorado at one of the churches, Calvary Chapel Worship Center, they showed this video of this man. He's in his late 50s, but his son, I think, is about 30-year-old quadriplegic. And this 50-year-old man actually had his son with him, and he completed this triathlon. In the swimming event, he pulled the raft that his son was laying in. He had a special-made trike like a bike, a tricycle bike that he put his son in and pushed him. And the other part, the bicycling. And as they played this video about the endurance, I just wept. Because here's a man that loves his son so much that he wants him to go on the race with him. And he completed it. And the whole point of it was, the pastor was sharing, he said, you know what? We're all sitting in that chair. We're all helpless. We all are laying in that raft. But he says, Jesus is the one that's going to finish the race. And if we'll just stay connected with him, he has the endurance. Paul talks about endurance, and he talks about us being good soldiers. 2 Timothy, verses 3 and 4, Paul says, you, Timothy, must endure hardness as a good soldier. You must learn to endure. I've never been in a physical war. I know my son and I, we watch the Band of Brothers series. It's pretty realistic, and I'm not saying that you need to watch it or don't. You may not agree with it. My father was in World War II. My uncles were also in World War II on both my mom and dad's side. My uncle on my mom's side was in Patton's Hell on Wheels regiment. He was shot out of a window in France, ran over a landmine in northern Africa. He was just wounded all over the place with Patton's group. Another uncle was in the Battle of Midway and never got a scratch on him. But watching this Band of Brothers series, you see these men going through things that you don't think the human body can endure. The endurance of what some people have gone through to survive. And you know what? Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, you're in a war. Satan is looking to take you out. And you know what? He tells Timothy, you need to learn to endure hardness. Endurance as a good soldier. There are a couple of other scriptures that Paul mentions. Romans 12, verse 12 is another one, where Paul is speaking to the Romans, and I'll turn there real quick. Romans 12, verse 12, Paul says that we are rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. I was encouraged to hear Rob and Beth talk about the prayer meeting on Friday night and how it went well. And I've talked to people before about how we as the body of Christ, I believe in this race that we're running, if we're going to stay on course, we need to learn to have endurance and not give up, not to lose heart. Because if Satan can get us to be discouraged and lose heart, then he's won that battle. But we need to learn to have endurance, to be strong. Jesus, in Luke 18:1, there's a very interesting verse here about this endurance. Luke 18:1. Then Jesus spoke a parable to them and said that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. This course that you're on, there's a lot of ways that you can endure, but are you enduring in your prayer time? Prayer is the hardest thing for we as Christians to endure in. Now, I don't know how you pray, but are you praying? Do you spend time with God? Not 5-minute cup of coffee and out the door. And I'm preaching to myself, because if we're going to stay on course, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Endurance. I challenge you there today. One of the best New Year's resolutions you can make, that you're going to spend time in prayer. Well, what is prayer? Communion with God, listening to Him, speaking to Him, spending time with Him. But I don't have time. You have to take time. If you don't take time, something else will take it for you. And if you want to be strong and endure, take time to pray. Don't lose heart. Let's go back to Hebrews 12 now, and I'm going to close. Because all of these things are well and good. They're just part of the real issue, and that is this. Therefore, we also, Hebrews 12, 1, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we lay aside every weight, forgetting those things which are behind us. You know what? You can't do a thing about the past except forget it. Oh, but you don't know what I've done. Forget it. Put it under the blood of Christ and move on. Oh, but that person hurt me. Forget it. Move on. Because if you stay there, you'll die there. Let me ask you a question. Where does Satan condemn us? How does condemnation come? Is it something that's happening now in the present or in the future? It's always in the past. Satan cannot condemn you. He cannot accuse you. He cannot place you under condemnation for the present and the future. He can only go before the Father and accuse you of something in the past. The past is such, it's gone. It's done. Forget it. Move on. Looking unto Jesus, it said, let's lay aside these weights and the sin which so easily besets us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He that hath begun a good work in you will complete it. Jesus is the one that pulled the trigger on the gun and the race was started. Guess what? Keep your eyes on Jesus. If you keep your eyes on the Lord, he will help you forget the past. He will help you press on. He will help you have the endurance because he's the one that started it. He called you. He will complete it. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, your word is true. Your word is great. And Lord, I just thank you for this morning, Father. I thank you for those that have come here. And I pray that there's an encouragement in their heart that, Lord, this course, this race that we're on, you've started it and you will complete it. And Father, we thank you today, God, that you've allowed us to be here and to participate in this great thing that you've started in our hearts. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Before the guys sing, I'm just going to encourage you guys. I would ask for your prayers. As of this week, some of you know of our mission in the past called In His Fields, working in Chechnya and the southern parts of Russia. As of Tuesday this week, In His Fields has merged with another colleague of ours that we've done many works in the Middle East in the past. And we're officially known now as Mission International. We are working in the West Bank with the Palestinian believers. The Lord has opened some great doors in Sudan to help train pastors in the country of Sudan. And we're also going to be doing more work in northern Iraq. In about 3 months, we're going to be doing a lot of training in northern Iraq. There's some awesome things happening in that part of the world. We're focused in the Middle East. Our hearts are still to reach the Muslim people with the gospel of Christ. So I would encourage you to pray for us. Got a lot of transition that we're going through right now. But if you're interested, I brought some newsletters. They're here on the information table. I'd encourage you to come by and take one of them. Or if you want to sign up for our newsletter or put your email there. We're doing stuff by email now. And if you'd like to get the newsletter that way. But just pray for us. God has an interesting landscape in front of us right now. And I would especially ask your prayers in merging with this other ministry. They're based in Colorado Springs, Colorado. We may be relocating there by the summer. So if you know someone that's looking to relocate here into Hilltown, I have a house for sale right now. In God's time, in his plan, whatever he chooses to do, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing on to those things and forward, and pray that we have endurance. The Middle East is in our hearts. And there's some awesome things happening there. And so God will do it. But I'll be out there at the information table. Bless you guys. Thank you for allowing me to share this morning. I hope you were encouraged.